الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, in our previous class of reading the introduction, the author, he mentioned, حفظه الله, about the importance of knowledge and the status of knowledge, and likewise the position of the people of knowledge, and that from the ways of the devil is to mislead the people away from the people of knowledge and to make things confusing for them in the affairs of the religion and to cause them to go astray and transgress the limits. But by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has sent men with knowledge and insight and with guidance and sincere intention and truthfulness with Allah azza wa jal that are a beacon of light and a means of guidance for the people and directing them and advising them. We've seen an example of that in the story of the debate of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma along with the Khawarij. And the point of deviation of those individuals was that they had an understanding of the religion contrary to the understanding of the companions. And whenever Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he directed them and clarified this affair, then the virtue of knowledge is seen. Likewise, the status of the companions is understood, and the people, many of them, they benefited from that. As for those who are tried by desires, become blinded by their whims, and they proceeded upon that way, and they were destroyed upon misguidance. So to summarize, we have seen the foul outcome of having a bad understanding of the religion, and likewise of having little insight into the affairs of the deen, as well as being hasty and placing judgment before time and before giving the proper consideration and thinking things thoroughly and thinking things through thoroughly. People who hasten to take positions, they wind up like those Khawarij, looking at themselves and one another whenever he clarified for them the reason why Ali radiallahu anhu did not take hostages, did not take captives nor spoils of war, did not take captives nor spoils of war, realizing this affair. From the great fundamentals of the religion that are derived from many texts is أَنَّ الدِّينَ مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى جَلْبِ الْمَصَالِحِ وَتَكْثِيرِهَا وَدَرْءِ الْمَفَاسِدِ وَتَقْلِيلِهَا, that the religion is based upon bringing about goodness and benefit and increasing that, and about removing evil and minimizing that, and minimizing that. And if there are two goods, then it is proper for the one to choose the one that brings about the greater benefit, that is more beneficial. And if a person is faced with two evils, then he will repel the one that is more severe by committing the one that is lesser. So in this case, committing the lesser evil is considered good. It's considered good. But people who do not realize these affairs, then they will just see it as something bad. But in comparison to the reality and the situation at hand, it's actually something that's very good and beneficial, because a greater harm is avoided. So the people who don't understand these affairs, do not have insight to these issues, do not realize their consequences of actions, they may see something bad. And indeed, it may be bad, but compared to the other option at hand and the consequences of that, perpetrating this one that is lesser is in reality good. And it's precisely wisdom in itself and the proper understanding. So the Khawarij and those like them, they are void of these affairs. They have a bad understanding because of a lack of knowledge and experience, and they have little insight into the evidences, and they're hasty. So the Shaykh, he says, حَفِظُهُ اللَّهُ وَمِمَّا يَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ الرُّجُوعَ إِلَى أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ خَيْرٌ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي أُمُورِ دِينِهِمْ وَدُنْيَاهُمْ مَا رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمٌ فِي صَحِيحِهِ عَنْ يَزِيدٍ الْفَقِيرِ قَالَ كُنْتُ قَدْ شَغَفَنِي رَأْيُ مِنْ رَأْيِ الْخَوَارِجِ. So among the proofs that returning to the scholars is good for the Muslims in matters of their religion and worldly affairs is what Muslim has narrated, in his Sahih from Yazid al-Faqir. He's from the Tabi'een. And he's mentioning here that he was at one time infatuated with the view of the Khawarij, and he meaning that the person who committed a major sin and died in that manner, then he will abide in the hellfire forever, and the intercession of those who are allowed to intercede will not benefit them. So here, whenever you hear this name, Yazid al-Faqir, the first thing that comes to mind is that he is someone who was poor, who was poor, al-faqir, yani ضده al-ghani. But that's not the case. His name is Yazid ibn Suhayb, Abu Uthman al-Kufi, wa thiqa. He's from the reliable scholars of hadith. And he is called al-faqir, لأنه كان يشكو من فقار ظهره. He used to have pain in his back. And al-faqar, faqar al-dhahr, is the vertebrae, the backbone. The backbone. So he used to have pain in his back and he used to lean over because of that. كان ينحني, because of the pain in his back. So he was known as Yazid al-Faqir. Yazid al-Faqir. Not because he's poor, but because he used to have a problem with his back. With his back. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. And the people of Nar, as they mentioned, that هذا من الألقاب التي تكون غير متبادرة للذهن. يعني from the sciences of hadith is knowing the nisbah. And knowing the alqab, knowing the nisab, and knowing the alqab, yani knowing the ascriptions of the people to their tribes or to their lands, and the likes like this, and likewise knowing the nicknames that the people they have. So this is a science from the sciences of hadith, yani from learning about al-jarh wa al-ta'dil and the knowledge of the narrators, is knowing about their names and knowing about the titles that they're given and the likes like this. So there are some that have these titles like this that it's something that not initially crosses your mind. It was contrary to what initially crosses your mind. When you see this name here, Yazid, Yazid al-Faqir, you think that he was poor, but that's not the case. This is an ascription of the fact that he had pain in his back and he used to bend over because of that, and this is what he's known for. This is what he's known for. So he says about himself, rahimahullahu ta'ala, kuntu qad shaghafani ra'yu min ra'yi al-khawarij. That at one time a certain view from the views of the Khawarij had fascinated me. And this is the way of the people of desires and the people of whims. Any of those desires here, what we're talking about is al-ahwa, ahlu al-ahwa. So we've seen in our previous class the difference between, in the mustarahat, the terminology of the people of Nara, the difference between the shahawat and the ahwa. The shahawat are the impermissible lusts and desires that a person, he likes to take pleasure in that which is forbidden. This is called the shahwa. This is called the shahwa, but the hawa is with regards to deen and creed. The hawa is a desire that one has with regards to the deen, with regards to the religion, not with regards to sins. Not with regards to the sins, with regards to his creed, with regards to his creed, with regards to his methodology, with regards to his understanding of the religion, his application of the religion, he follows desires. Not following the shahwat, but following the ahwa. Following the ahwa, following his opinion, letting his mind run the text, and putting his ideology in front of the text and not following the text, or listening to the positions of men, or neglecting the proper understanding and returning back to the principles established from the early generations, so on and so forth. So he's from the people of Ahwa. Another synonym for them is a mubtadi', an innovator. The people of Ahwa, they're innovators. They're innovators. So the innovators, many times what happens to them, they hear these shubuhat, these Ahwa, and they become infatuated with them. What does it mean when somebody becomes infatuated with something? Yeah, he loves it dearly. He's infatuated with it. He can't get it off his mind. It's always going over in his heart, turning in his mind. He's thinking about it and the likes and learning about it and speaking about it. It's something that will preoccupy him and overcome him. So this is the way of the desires. This is the way of the shubuhat, that many times the people who become affected by them, he's snatched up by them. He snatched up by them, he becomes infatuated. We find this until this day, that those youth, especially, that are those youth and likewise others who are affected by the ideology of the Khawarij today, by the ideology of Ikhwan Muslimin and Sururi and the likes like this, they're infatuated with that affair. They're infatuated with making takfir and declaring people disbelievers, and they can't get their minds off of it. And they delve into affairs that are far beyond their knowledge and the limit of their understanding, that delve into affairs related to United Nations and individuals who get involved in the United Nations, and that this is belief, and this is disbelief, and that is disbelief, and this one has disbelieved, and if you do this, and this ruler, he did this in his country, and he allowed this in his country, so therefore he's a disbeliever, so on and so forth. But you'll find, just like the Khawarij of the time of Ali radiallahu anhu, maybe they don't even know the affairs, simple affairs about their garments and the likes like this. About their garments and the likes like this. We've seen that was from the benefit of the previous class. Whenever Ibn Abbas came to them, how did he come? He came wearing very nice clothing. He did that on purpose. Why did he do that on purpose? Because he knows their way. They went to extremes with regards to this, and they're wearing old clothing and rough clothing and the likes like this, thinking that this is a means to draw them near to Allah. But the way of the Prophet ﷺ, that he likewise would wear nice garments whenever they're available. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that's the first thing that he came in. He came in that manner, and that's the first thing that they approached him with. And that's the first thing that he refuted them with regards to. He said, indeed, I saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to wear garments that are much more better than the ones I'm wearing now. And he from the same time, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was known that he would wear the garments from Yemen, and these were very famous in his time. And then he recited to them, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ أَلَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَطَيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ أَلَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَطَيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ Say to them, who declares that which Allah has allowed for his slaves to be forbidden, and the good provision that he has permitted for them? Meaning that this is something that they misunderstand. They misunderstand this affair. They don't even have knowledge, the simple knowledge of the garments that they're wearing and that which is lawful and that which is permissible. They have misunderstanding for this affair. So this is the way of the Khawarij. They misunderstand these affairs. So they don't have knowledge and insight with regards to the basic fundamentals, to the basic fundamentals of the deen, yet they want to delve into these affairs, the safety and security of the general population of the Muslim blood and wealth and honor and reputation. They want to delve into whether a man is a believer or a disbeliever. He himself, he doesn't know the rulings of the garments he's wearing, or he doesn't know the rulings of the salat that he's praying, or he doesn't know the conditions of the wudu that he's making and the like. Like this, many of them, they're very ignorant in these affairs. So the point is now that from the ways of those affected by those shubuhat and those ahwa is that they become infatuated with them. They become infatuated with them. So this is an indication that we do not delve into these affairs. We do not entertain these ideas. We do not listen to the shubuhat and the ahwa of the people of deviation. Those who reach a level of knowledge that are qualified, they're the ones who will handle these affairs. So every time somebody comes with a doubt or a misconception, what do you say about this? You don't listen to them. You don't let it into your heart. You don't let it bother you. And you don't have to refute it. If it's clear that it's contrary to the haq that you know, you do not care about it. You just tell them, this is contrary to the truth that I know. This is contrary to this ayat. Or this is contrary to this hadith. Or this is contrary to the fundamental principle that's established in the books of the Salaf. And that's sufficient. And that's sufficient to know that this is contrary to the clear truth that you have learned is sufficient as a refutation. But if you do not suffice with that, and you think about that, and you entertain that before you're qualified to delve in these affairs, it will take root. And those people of knowledge, they say, "Ashuba qattafa." Qattafa, and it snatches you up. So a person can easily become infatuated with these ideologies. He can easily become infatuated by these ideologies, and he will be affected by them, and he could eventually fall into deviation and become confused and follow falsehood, believing that is truth. And follow falsehood, believing that is truth. So to be safe from these affairs, the people of knowledge, they say, "Man kana mukhatiran fala yukhatir bidinihi." Whoever is going to take risks, let him not take risks with his religion. So we don't take risks with our religion by listening to everybody and refuting everybody and debating with everybody and quarreling with everybody. We don't have time for that. We have time for learning how to recite the book of Allah, learning vocabulary, learning principles in nahw and sarf, learning how to understand the Arabic language, learning the conditions of the wudu and the tahara and the major hadith and the minor hadith, learning the salah and the pillars and the obligations of salah and the invalidators of salah, mutilat al-salah, learning about zakat and the nisab and the different rulings and regulations with regards to that, and learning about the fasting, so on and so forth. This is what we have time for. The affairs that we're involved in now, this is what a person should busy himself with. Not busy himself with debating and quarreling and arguing and going back and forth with the people of misguidance or the people of deviation or the people who are affected by these affairs, because they will affect you. Because they will affect you. No doubt refuting the people of innovation, clarifying the falsehood and the likes. This is all from the religion, but this is not for the layman. This is not for the new students. This is not for the layman. This is not for the new students, the layman, this advice that we're mentioning here, and the likes of these affairs, this is for the layman, this is for the new students, that they will avoid these affairs. They will leave them, they'll not entertain them, they'll not argue with them, they'll not fight with them, they'll not expose themselves to such falsehood for fear that it may affect them. For fear that it may affect them. If a person continues seeking knowledge and he becomes grounded in the methodology of Ahl Sunnah, and he becomes grounded in the Aqidah, and he studies time after time, book after book, until he's moving through the stages and the levels of knowledge, and he reaches a level, yes, he will start learning about falsehood in great detail, and learning how to refute that, and learning how to clarify the falsehood of that, and then he will even stand in that field and establish that for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But that's not where he begins. That's not where he begins. Rahimallahu abdan. Arafa qadra nafsihi. May Allah have mercy on a person who knows his own level. So here he was affected. Yazid al-Faqir, rahimahullah, he says, "Kuntu." And this is an excuse he's making for himself. كنت قد شغفني رأي من رأي الخوارج. I had one time I was fascinated. I was fascinated, infatuated with a view from the view of the Khawarij, and he meaning that he was affected by their creed and belief that the one who commits a major sin is will abide in the hellfire for eternity, and he will never come out of the hellfire. That the people who die and go in the hellfire, they never come out. They never come out. This is from their creed. So he says, فَخَرَجْنَا فِي إِصَابَةٍ, that we added in the ridu and the hujj. So we went out. We went out in a group, a great number of individuals, and we want to make hajj. ثُمَّ نَخْرُجُ عَلَى النَّاسِ. We left out a group of people, large numbers, and our intention is to make hajj. And after hajj, we're going to revolt against the people. This is their intention. So they're going to go to the sacred lands. They're going to perform the sacred rites. And after that, whenever everybody is ready to go, when everybody is united, they're going to revolt against them. They're going to call them to the way of the Khawarij and to raise their swords against those who disagree with him and oppose him. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. So he says, قَالَ فَمَرَرْنَا عَلَى الْمَدِينَةِ فَإِذَا جَابِرُ بْنَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا يُحَدِّثُ الْقَوْمِ. So he says, and we passed by Al-Madinah. And we passed by Al-Madinah. This is an amazing affair. This is an amazing affair from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal and from His mercy and from His lutf for Yazid al-Faqir and his companions along with him, that they on their way, they passed by Al-Madinah. And whenever they pass by Al-Madinah, they find a great scholar. And that great scholar is narrating clarifying the issue that they have, the problem that they have. At that time, this is from the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, from the lutf, the subtle kindness of Allah Azza wa Jal. They're coming with this intention, but Allah guided them to sit in the gathering of a scholar who has just happened, and by the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, to be discussing this affair and clarifying the doubt that they have. So he says, so we pass by Medina and there's Jabir. Suddenly we see Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, and he's narrating to the people. Jalisun ila sariya. He's sitting against the pillar in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma'a Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam annahu qal fa'idha huwa qad dhakara al-jahannamiyin. He says, so we found Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, and he's sitting against the pillar in the masjid narrating to the people. He's speaking to the people, teaching them and spreading knowledge. And then he says, suddenly he mentions al-jahannamiyin. He mentioned al-jahannamiyin. Al-jahannamiyun, they're the people who go in the fire and come out. They're the people from the believers who will go into the hellfire and then they'll come out. He's calling them jahannamiyun. He says, so he mentioned the jahannamiyin. And he says, قَالَ فَقُلْتُ لَهُ يَا صَاحِبَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ مَا هَذَا الَّذِي تُحَدِّثُونَ وَاللَّهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلَ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ وَكُلَّمَا أَرَادُوا أَنْ يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا أُعِيدُوا فِيهَا. So he says, he mentioned the people of the hellfire. He called them jahannamiyin. He says that who will be brought out. So I said to him, O companion of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are you narrating? What are you talking about? By Allah, Allah, he says, our Lord, verily, those whom you had admitted to the fire, indeed you have disgraced them. Those who you admitted to the fire, indeed you have disgraced them. Meaning that those who are admitted into the fire, they'll be disgraced, and after that, there's no honor. They'll be disgraced, and after that, there's no honor. This is their understanding. Whoever enter into the fire, indeed, فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ وَمَا بَعْدَ هَذِ الْخِزِي مِنْ إِكْرَامِ. They will never be honored again if they have entered into the fire and they have been disgraced. This is their understanding. And Allah, he says, whenever they desire to get out from, whenever they try or they want to get out from the fire, they will be put back therein. They will be put back therein. Any meaning that they will want to get out of the fire, but they will not be let out of the fire. They will try to get out of the fire, but they will not be allowed get out of the fire. يُرِدُونَ أَنْ يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنْهَا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُقِيمٌ. Many verses about this. Many verses about this. So he's questioning Jabir. Jabir is narrating the narration of the Shafa'ah رضي الله عنه, and he's mentioning that there will be people from the believers who will enter the hellfire because of their sin, but they will come out. But they will come out into paradise. So then he's questioning him. And what are you talking about? Allah, he says this and Allah, he says that. فَمَا هَذَا الَّذِي تَقُولُ. So what are you saying? If this is what Allah, he says, and this is what you're saying. قَالَ فَقَالَتْ أَتَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. So he says, Jabir رضي الله عنه, he says, do you read the Qur'an? أَتَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. قُلْتُ نَعَمْ. He said, I said, yes. قَالَ فَهَلْ سَمِعْتَ بِمَقَامِ مُحَمَّدٍ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ يَعْنِي الَّذِي يَبْعَثُهُ فِيهِ. So he said, have you heard about the maqam, the station of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Allah will resurrect him? قلت نعم. So he said yes. قال فإنه مقام محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم المحمود الذي يخرج الله به من يخرج. He said that is the praise station where Allah will bring out of the fire those whom He wills to bring out. يعني by the grace of Allah عز وجل. By the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, there will be intercession that will be made by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and likewise others from his nation. And likewise others from his nation, honoring the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and those from his nation. And likewise showing mercy to those individuals also from his nation, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in this manner by the Shafa'ah. قَالَ ثُمَّ نَعَتَ وَضْعَ الصِّرَاطِ وَمَرَّ النَّاسِ عَلَيْهِ. And then he described the setting up of the bridge and the sirat and the people's crossing over it. قال وأخاف ألا أكون أحفظ ذلك. He said, but I'm afraid I don't remember all of that. يعني meaning that Jabir رضي الله عنه, he mentioned many details about the affairs of the unseen that will happen on the day of resurrection. From that, the establishment of the Sirat, the bridge that goes over the hellfire, and likewise the people crossing that bridge and how they cross, and the details that have come. But he says, I'm afraid I don't remember all of that in detail. He says, but the part that he does remember. He says, قَالَ غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ قَدْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ قَوْمًا يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ النَّارِ بَعْدَ أَنْ يَكُونُوا فِيهَا. Except for the fact, he said, however, he mentioned people that will be brought out of the fire after being in it. That there will be people that will be brought out of the fire after being in it. And so this was the issue that they have. So this is what he is narrating. He remembers this part in detail because this is contrary to the creed that him and his people they were upon. قَالَ يعني فيخرجون كأنهم عيدان السماسم. قال فيدخلون النهر من أنهار الجنة فيكتسرون فيه فيخرجون كأنهم قراطيس. فرجعنا قلنا ويحكم ترون الشيخ يكذب على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فرجعنا فلا والله ما خرج منا غير رجل واحد أو كما قال أبو نعيم وأبو نعيم الفضل ابن دكين هو أحد رجال الإسناد. So he says any about the issue. He says, however, he said that some people would be brought out of the fire after being in it. He said they will come out like burnt stalks of seeds. And he said, Samsam. And he burnt stalks of seeds. And they will enter one of the rivers of paradise. Then they will bathe in it. And they will come out like white sheets of paper. And he completely white and pure and clean, with no sin whatsoever. As he continued, he said, we returned and said, and they began now looking at each other. Whenever they heard this, what do you? Do you think that the sheikh is one to lie about the Messenger of Allah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you think the Shaykh here, Jabir ibn Abdullah, you think he's going to sit here and lie about the Messenger of Allah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning they believe him. They believe what he's narrating is a narration that he heard from the Prophet Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, so we returned. And they all repented and returned to the truth. And by Allah, none of us remained upon the Khawarij belief except for one man. He says, or as Abu Nu'aym mentioned, and this is one of the narrators, Abu Nu'aym al-Fadl ibn Dukayn. He died in the year 219 from the narrators of hadith, the great scholars of the sunnah. So the shaykh, he says, وَقَدْ أَوْرَدَ ابْنُ كَثِيرٍ فِي تَفْسِيرِهِ عِنْدَ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى مِنْ سُورَةِ الْمَائِدَةِ يُرِيدُونَ يَخْرُجُوا مِنَ النَّارِ وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنْهَا. حديث جابر هذا عند ابن أبي حاتم وابن مردويه وغيرهما وهو يدل على أن هذه الإصابة ابتليت بالإعجاب برأي الخوارج في تكفير مرتكب الكبيرة وتخليله في النار وأنهم بلقائهم جابرا رضي الله عنه وبيانه لهم صاروا إلى ما أرشدهم إليه وتركوا الباطل الذي فهموه وأنهم عدلوا عن الخروج الذي هموا به بعد الحج وهذه من أعظم الفوائد التي يستفيدها المسلم برجوعه إلى أهله. The Shaykh, he says, Hafidhullah ibn Kathir, he mentioned in his tafsir regarding the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Ma'idah, يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَخْرُجُوا مِنَ النَّارِ وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنْهَا يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَخْرُجُوا مِنَ النَّارِ وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنْهَا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُقِيمٌ. They want to get out of the fire, but they will not get out of the fire, and they will have an everlasting punishment. He cited this hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu. Ibn Kathir, in his tafsir, he interprets this verse here by mentioning the narration of Jabir radiallahu anhu. He says, mentioning it from Ibn Abi Hatim and Ibn Marduya and others, indicating that this group was afflicted by infatuation for the view of the Khawarij, declaring major sinners to be disbelievers and considering them eternally in the hellfire, considering them to abide eternally in the hellfire. Upon meeting Jabir radiallahu anhu and receiving clarification, they abandoned the falsehood they had understood and refrained from the rebellion they intended from after Hajj. They left the falsehood they were upon, the misunderstanding that they were affected by, the failed understanding that they had believed with regards to those verses and those texts from the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and also they withheld from rebelling against the people and revolting against them after Hajj, as they had intended. So the Shaykh, he says, this is among the greatest benefits a Muslim gains by returning to the scholars. This is from the greatest benefits a Muslim gains by returning to the scholars. So they had intended to make kharuj, and they had intended to shed blood, and they had intended to fight against the ruler and the likes like this. But it was by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, they sat in a gathering from the gatherings of the people of knowledge. Specifically here, a companion, from the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even more specific, the gathering of Abdullah, of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma. So he heard the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and heard them explained in a good manner. And he clarified for them likewise in a good way, removing the doubts that they had, and guiding them by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal to the straight path. And therefore they repented. And therefore they repented. So this is a great benefit. This is a great benefit. So the Shaykh, he says, حَفِيظُهُ اللَّهُ وَيَدُلُّ لِخُطُورَةِ الْغُلُوِّ فِي الدِّينِ وَلِلْحِرَافِ عَنِ الْحَقِّ وَمُجَانَبَةِ ومجانبة ما كان عليه أهل السنة والجماعة قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حديث حذيفة رضي الله عنه إن أخوف ما أخاف عليكم رجل قرأ القرآن حتى إذا رؤيت بهجته عليه وكان رد للإسلام انسلخ منه ونبذه وراء ظهره وساء على جاره بالسيف ورماه بالشرك فقلت يا نبي الله أيهما أولى بالشرك الرامي أو المرمي قال بل الرامي رواه البخاري في التاريخ وأبو يعلى وابن حبان والبزار انظر الصحيح للألباني رحمه الله. He says it is indicated that the danger of extremism in religion, deviation from the truth and departing from the way of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah is shown in the Prophet, in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the hadith of Hudhayfa, and that which indicates the dangers of extremism in the religion and deviation away from the truth and staying away from the methodology and the way of the people of the Sunnah is this narration here that he's mentioning from Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, indeed the thing I fear most for you is a man who reads the Quran until its splendor appears on him and he becomes a supporter of Islam, and he meaning someone who will seek knowledge and study the deen until he becomes strong in that. And then he becomes known for that, supporting the religion of Allah, but then he detaches himself from it. And he meaning he deviates, waliyadhu billah, discards it behind his back, rushes upon his neighbor with the sword and accuses him of shirk and polytheism. Meaning that he had learned the religion and he had become strong in the deen and obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and then he was deviated by these desires. And affected by these doubts until it carried him to raise his sword against his neighbors, declaring them to be disbelievers, declaring them unlawfully and unrightfully to be disbelievers. I said, O Prophet of Allah, which of the two is closer to shirk, the one who accused or the one who accuses? The one who accused or the one who accuses? He said, rather the one who accuses. This is narrated by al-Bukhari in al-Tariq, in al-Tariq al-Kabir, and also by Abu Ya'la, meaning in his Musnad, and Ibn Hibban in his Sahih, and also al-Bazar in his Musnad. You can see that it's authenticated by al-Shaykh al-Abani, rahimahullah ta'ala, in al-Silsila al-Sahiha, number 3201. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed us of this extremism and warned us from it, that there will be individuals that they will learn the religion, and they will deviate after that. And from the deviation is that they will seek to shed the blood of their brother Muslim, declaring him to be disbelievers, declaring him to be a disbeliever. And a similar event here, this narration with Jabir radiallahu anhu, has been narrated also with another individual. This narration of Jabir here with Yazid al-Faqir, rahimahullah, is also narrated with another individual from the Tabi'een, that Jabir had removed the shubha and the doubt that he had. A similar event occurred with Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu and Talq ibn Habib. And it's been narrated by Al-Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, rahimahullahu ta'ala, with a chain that is authentic from Talq ibn Habib. Talq ibn Habib, we know him. How do we know him? He's from the Tabi'een, but we know there's something that we know about him. We learn from him. The definition? About taqwa. They asked him in the time of the trials of Abdurrahman ibn Ash'ath, كَيْفَ نَتَّقِي الْفِتْنَةِ كَيْفَ نَدْفَى الْفِتْنَةِ. How do we repel the trials? And he mentioned to them that famous definition of a taqwa that we know. He said, تَدْفَى الْفِتْنَةِ بِالتَّقْوَى اللَّهِ. They said, what is taqwa? He said, تَعْمَلَ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ تَرْجُو ثَوَابَ اللَّهِ وَإِن تَتْرُكَ مَعْصِيَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ تَخَافُ عِقَابَ اللَّهِ. The well-known narration. So this is Talq ibn Habib. So Jabir radiallahu anhu, likewise he met with him. Talq ibn Habib, likewise as well, he had been affected by these doubts that were spread in those days. So he says, كُنْتُ مِنْ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ تَكْذِيبًا بِالشَّفَاعَةِ. Talq ibn Habib, rahimahullah, كُنْتُ مِنْ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ تَكْذِيبًا بِالشَّفَاعَةِ حَتَّى لَقِيتُ جَابِرَ بْنَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ رضي الله عنهما فقرأت عليه كل آية ذكرها الله عز وجل وفيها خلود أهل النار فقال يا طلق أتراك أقرأ لكتاب الله مني وأعلم بسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. طلق, he said about himself, I used to be among the most adamant. I used to be amongst the most adamant in denying intercession. And I'm the sternest in denying the intercession in the hereafter, for meaning for the sinners from this ummah. Until I met Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. I recited to him every verse in the book of Allah, mighty and majestic, that Allah mentioned. I recited to him every verse which Allah mentioned, mighty and majestic, about the eternal abode of the people of the hellfire and about the people abiding in the hellfire forever. He said, Yani, I used to reject the shafa'ah, the most sternest of the people. Even when I met Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, I recited to him every single verse in the book of Allah, clarifying that the people of the hellfire, they will abide there forever. I recited to him every last one. So he said to me, O Talq, do you think you are more knowledgeable of the book of Allah than I am? And more knowledgeable of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Do you think that you have more knowledge of the book of Allah than me? Or do you think that you have more knowledge of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? فَتَضَعْتُ لَهُ. This was success from Allah likewise. He said, so I humble myself before him. And I realized, no, I don't have more knowledge than him. Why? That was clarified by Ibn Abbas, right? What was that? That those tabi'un that came after the companions, they don't have more knowledge of the religion than the companions. Why? Because the companions, the revelation was revealed amongst them. They're the first to believe, the first to defend, the first to give their wealth and their life and their property and to strive. They were taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly. They were guided and directed and corrected by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They learned his recitation by listening to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They learned the application by following him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They gave up their life and their wealth and their property to aid him and to establish the deen of Allah azza wa jalla. The Quran, many of the events in the religion and the rulings that were established until the day of judgment, they were revealed according to events occurring in their lives. So of course they have more knowledge of the interpretation, more knowledge of the revelation and the interpretation than those after them. So alhamdulillah, he realized that. No, I'm not more knowledgeable than you of the Quran nor of the Sunnah. So he says, so I humble myself. La wallahi, bal anta aqra'u li kitabillahi minni wa a'lamu bi sunnatihi minni. He says, so I humbled myself before him and I said, no, by Allah, you are more knowledgeable of the book of Allah than I am, and more knowledgeable of his sunnah than I am. قَالَ فَإِنَّ الَّذِي قَرَأْتَ أَهْلُهَا هُمُ الْمُشْرِكُونَ وَلَكِنْ قَوْمٌ أَصَّابُوا ذُنُوبًا فَعُذِّبُوا بِهَا ثُمَّ أُخْرِجُوا. He says, indeed, those who you recited, their people are polytheists. And in those verses that you're reciting, those verses are in regards to pagans and polytheists, pure disbelievers. He said, but what we're referring to, but as for people who committed sins, they are punished for them and then removed from the fire. Meaning the people of at-tawheed, the people of sincere faith, the people of iman, even if it's just the mustard grain seed, wait, but they have sincere faith, they have with them tawheed, they will be brought out of the fire. They will be brought out of the fire. Then he says, radiallahu anhu, summata wa ahwa bi yadayhi ila udhunayhi in lam akun sami'tu rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul yakhrujuna min an-nar wa nahnu naqra'u ما تقرأ ونحن نقرأ ما تقرأ. He said, may my ears be sealed. And he pointed with both hands to his ears. If I did not hear the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that, they will come out of the fire. And we recite the same thing you recite. We recite the same verses that you recite. But what's the difference? The understanding. The understanding because of the tarbiyah, because of the light of the sunnah, because of the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of the blessing of knowledge and insight to the proper understanding and intent from these verses. To the proper understanding and intent from these verses. So there are many verses in the Book of Allah that come in a general sense, that the sunnah has clarified details with regards to. Details with regards to. From that, these are fears. So again, from the problems that the likes of the Khawarij they have, is that they focus their eyes on certain texts, and they neglect others. And this is what caused them to go to extremes in the threat of Allah Azza wa Jal. They focus their eyes on texts with regards to the threat of the punishment and abiding in the hellfire for eternity, and neglect other texts that mention the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Similar like them, on the contrary, on the opposite in entirety, are the Murji'ah. They have the same problem, but in the opposite sense. They focus their view on the text with regards to the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His forgiveness. And therefore they say that no one who believes will ever go into the fire. So the Quran is, they say, anyone who commits a major sin and goes in the fire, he'll never come out. And the Murji'ah, they says, whoever believes, no sins will ever hurt him and he'll never enter the fire. But this is because they focus their aspect, they focus their view on text with regards to the threat, and they focus their view with regards to the promise and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So they went astray and they went astray. As for Ahl Sunnah, then they gather all of the texts in these issues and they look at them as one text, and they understand the proper understanding, and that whoever has sincere faith, he's guaranteed to never abide in the hellfire, although he's not safe from entering the hellfire because of his sins. So the one who dies upon sins, then he will be taken to account for his sins. If Allah wills, he will forgive him. And if Allah wills, he will punish him accordingly. But if he's punished, he'll be punished in a manner of purity, and he'll be brought out of the hellfire. So no one who dies with faith will abide in the hellfire. And no one who enters the paradise will ever have to leave. So this methodology, this understanding, this creed, it comes from gathering all of the texts, not just from looking at one. Likewise, there's another narration also with regards to Jabir. This is also letting us know the status of the Sahaba, specifically here Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, that he was busy teaching the people and spreading the sunnah and clarifying the falsehood of these doubts and misconceptions. And it's been narrated by Ibn Hibban, it's been collected by Ibn Hibban in his Sahih, and it's with a chain that likewise is authentic from Amr ibn Dinar, also from the Tabi'een. He says, سمعت جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما يقول سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول بأذني هاتين وأشار بيده إلى أذنيه يخرج الله قوما من النار فيدخلهم الجنة. He says that it's narrated by Amr ibn Dinar, who said, I heard Jabir ibn عبد الله رضي الله عنهما, he say, I heard the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he pointed with his fingers to his ears, with these two ears of mine. I heard it with these two ears of mine. Now that's the difference between us and he's like, this is the difference between me and you, right? I heard it with these two ears. So they heard the words of the Prophet with their own ears. Understand that? They have the eyes that saw the eyes of the Prophet. They had the ears that heard the recitation and the speech and the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a level that cannot be achieved after them. There's a level that cannot be achieved after them. So he's emphasizing this. I heard the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with these two ears. With these two ears. He said that Allah would take a group of people out of the hellfire and admit them to paradise. That Allah would take a group of people out of the hellfire and admit them to paradise. فَقَالَ لَهُ رَجُلٌ فِي حَدِيثِ عَمْرٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَخْرُجُ مِنَ النَّارِ يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَخْرُجُ مِنَ النَّارِ وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنْهَا. He said, then a man who was present, he said, but Allah, he says, they wish to get out of the fire, but they will never get out of the fire. فَقَالَ جَابِرُ بْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا إِنَّكُمْ تَجْعَلُونَ الْخَاصَ عَامًا. This is here clarifying also from their mistakes and their errors and their bad understanding. He said, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ تَجْعَلُونَ الْخَاصَ عَامًا هَذِهِ لِلْكُفَارِ اقْرَأُوا مَقَابِرَهَا ثُمَّ تَلَا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ أَنَّ لَهُم مَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ لِيَفْتَدُوا بِهِ مِنْ عَذَابٍ يوم القيامة ما تقبل منهم ولهم عذاب أليم يريدون أن يخرجوا من النار وما هم بخارجين منها. هذه للكفار. هذه للكفار. So Jabir, he replied, and the man, he said, similar like before, what are you talking about? This is what Allah, he says. So he says, indeed, you are making the specific general. You're making something specific general. This is the problem. This verse here is mentioned about a specific type of people. A specific type of people. And you're making it general for everybody. That's not the proper understanding. So this is also a great benefit. That there are verses in the Quran that are specific. There are texts in the religion that are specific. And they have a specific understanding. And to make them general brings about innovation and misguidance. And likewise, there are general texts as well. And if somebody attempts to make them specific, then also this is a means for introducing innovation and misguidance. Introducing innovation and misguidance. So there's principles with regards to understanding al-khas wal-am. And whenever one will restrict the other and the likes like this. So to learn these principles is of utmost importance, especially if a person is going to give rulings and issue verdicts. So he says, indeed, you're making the specific general. And in the specific verse, you're making it into a general understanding or ruling. That verse is about the disbelievers. That verse right there, يُرِدُونَ أَنْ يَقْرُجُوا مِنْهَا وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنْهَا. This verse here is specifically about the disbelievers. اِقْرَأُوا مَا قَبْلَهَا. He said this verse here is about the disbelievers. Read that which is before it. This is also another mistake and a reason for bad understanding, that people, they will read an evidence and take it out of context. So they will leave the verses before or the verses after. Or they'll leave the information before and the information after. Whether it's with regards to the words of Allah or the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or even with regards to the words of the scholars of hadith. It's called al-batr. Al-batr. They'll come to one sentence and they'll take it out of that context, and then they'll place it over here and it will appear as if that imam is saying something that's in accordance with their whims and desires. But if you take that same sentence and put it back where it came from and read the verse, read the paragraph before and the paragraph after, you'll understand what he's mentioning. So that one sentence, it could be taken out, it could be used in another context to have a to indicate something contrary to what was actually intended. And this is what they do. Shaykh al-Islam, he did this or he said that. But and then if you read it, like, Subhanallah, he said that. But if you go back to that book and you read what's before it and what's after it, or you even just look at the chapter title, what the whole issue is about, you'll find that that's not what he intended from that statement. That's not what he intended from that. They abuse the trust and they misuse these texts in this manner. So this is from the way. He said, read that which is before it. اِقْرَأُوا مَا قَبْلَهَا. Then he read the verse before that, and the meaning of which is indeed those who disbelieve. If they had all that which is in the earth and the likes thereof to ransom themselves from the punishment on the day of resurrection, it will never be accepted from them. Theirs will be a painful torment. They wish to get out of the fire and they will never get out of the fire. So they took the part. They wish to get out of the fire and they never get out of the fire, and they applied it to the Muslims in a general sense. They applied it to anyone who does sins in a general sense. And they neglected the verse before it that clarifies that this is specifically about the disbelievers. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ أَنَّ لَهُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ لِيَفْتَدُوا بِهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَا تُقُبِّلَ مِنْهُمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. This is for the disbelievers. So these verses here, they're with regards to the disbelievers. And they're applying them to the believers. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us about the likes of these people as well. That they will go to the verses intended for the disbelievers, and they will apply them to the believers. يَقْرَؤُونَ آيَاتْ يَحْسِبُونَ أَنَّهَا لَهُم وَهِيَ عَلَيْهِمْ. They're reciting verses, and they believe that it's for them, supporting their methodology. But in reality, it's against them. It's evidence against them. And this is the way of the people of desires. So again, this is a clarification of the su'u fahm. They have a bad understanding. They have waqillatu al-basira, and they have little insight into the religion. And they're hasty to make judgments, especially in major affairs like the blood of a Muslim or a person's Islam, taking him out of Islam in entirety. This is not something minor. This is not something light to declare a Muslim, somebody who's known to be a Muslim, to be a disbeliever. To declare Abdullah or Muhammad or Zayd to be a disbeliever. This is something that's major. This is something that's a major affair. This is not like saying, oh, you need to redo your salah. Even telling somebody they need to redo their salah. This is something that's a big affair likewise. To declare somebody's prayer invalid. This is not something light likewise. But even greater than that is to declare somebody's Islam invalid. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. To uproot his shahada and to declare him a disbeliever. This is from the major affairs. So we'll not be hasty, and not even in declaring the wudu to be invalidated.
without clear evidence and proof, how about a person's religion and deen?
So the Shaykh, he says, Hafidhullah, وَحَدَاثَةُ سِنِّ وَحَدَاثَةُ سِنِّ مَظِنَّةُ سُوءِ الْفَهْمِ يَدُولُ لِذَلِكَ مَا رُوَهُ الْبُخَارِي فِي صَحِيحِهِ بِإِسْنَادِهِ لَهِشَامِ بِبْنِ عُرْوَى عَنْ أَبِيهِ أَنَّهُ قَالْ قُلْتُ لِعَيْشَةَ رضي الله عنها زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنا يومئذ حديث السن وأنا يومئذ حديث السن أرأيت قول الله تبارك وتعالى إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله من شعائر الله فمن حج البيت أو اعتمر فلا جناح عليه أو طوف بهما فلا جناح عليه أي طوف بهما فما أرى على أحد شيئا ألا يطوف بهما فقالت عائشة رضي الله عنها كلا لو كانت كما تقول كانت فلا جناها عليه ألا يطوف بهما إنما أنزلت هذه الآية في الأنصار كانوا يهلون لمنات وكانت منات حذو قديد وكانوا يتحرجون أن يطوفوا بين الصفا والمروة فلما جاء الإسلام سألوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ذلك فأنزل الله إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله فَمَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ أَوْ اِعْتَمَرَ فَلَا جُنَاهَا عَلَيْهِ أَيَطَّوَّفَ بِهِمَا. So the Shaykh, he says, youthfulness, young age, is a likely cause of misunderstanding. Young age is a likely cause of misunderstanding, as indicated by what al-Bukhari has narrated in his Sahih, with his chain to Hisham ibn Urwa. Hisham ibn Urwa from his father, who said, يعني Urwa ibn Zubayr. Urwa ibn Zubayr. Urwa ibn Zubayr, he's the son of Zubayr, yani the great companion from the Mubashirin. Yani so he's also related to Aisha radiallahu anha. So he says, he said, I said to Aisha, and he used to go to Aisha and learn from her. So he says, I said to Aisha, but now he mentions the point. And I was at that time young in age. Urwa ibn Zubayr, he said, I went to Aisha, but at this time, what I'm narrating to this story here, I was very young in age. You know, Urwa ibn Zubayr, he's from al-Fuqaha al-Sab'a. He's from the seven Fuqaha scholars who were alive from the Tabi'in at one time in Medina. And he's from the greatest scholars of al-Islam. But this story is to clarify here the issue of young age. The issue of young age and bad understanding in the religion. So he says about himself. I said to Aisha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I was at that time young in age. Do you not see that Allah, the Blessed and Exalted, says, verily, as-Safa wal Marwa are among the symbols of Allah. So it is not a sin on him who performs Hajj or Umrah at the house to perform tawaf between them. There's no sin on him to perform tawaf between them. This is what he's saying. This is what the verse says. There's no sin in as-Safa wal Marwa. These are from the sacred rites and symbols of Allah. فَلَا جُنَاهَا عَلَيْهِ أَن يَطَّوَفَ بِهِ. There's no sin on the one who makes tawaf before them. فَمَنْ حَجَّ وَعِتَمَرَ, the one who makes hajj or umrah, there's no sin on him to make tawaf between them. There's no sin if he does that. So he says, I do not see any sin upon anyone who does not perform tawaf between them. And this is his understanding. Allah, he says, there's no sin for those who make tawaf, those who make the sa'i between Safa and Marwa. So he's saying, then if that's the case, there's no sin on him to do that, then there's no sin on him to not do that likewise. Meaning that it's not a pilgrim from the pilgrims of Hajj or Umrah to make tawaf, to make sa'i. This is because Allah, he says this. You understand? This is the understanding that he has. We understand the point. So he read the verse and he understood it in this life that it's no blame to make sa'i. So therefore it's no blame to leave sa'i. So if somebody made Hajj without making sa'i, his Hajj is good. If somebody made Umrah without making Sa'i, his Hajj is good. But that's not the proper understanding. And this is the point here. So she said, no, if it were as you say, the verse would have been, there's no sin upon him not to perform. La junaha alayhi, Allah yattawafa bihima. But Allah didn't say that. If that was the case, then Allah would have said, there's no sin upon him to not perform tawaf between them. She said, rather, this verse was revealed concerning the Ansar. This verse here was revealed concerning the Ansar. So this is another science of the science of the religion, and also something specific as well to the companions that they know. It's called Asbab al-Nuzul, the reason for revelation. They're verses that were revealed because of reasons. And these reasons are related to events occurring in the life of the companions. So this verse was revealed specifically about the Ansar and a creed that they had. So he said they used to make the ihram from manat, from a god that they had, that they used to worship besides Allah, which was an idol located near Qudayt. And they used to hesitate to perform tawaf between Safa and Marwa. They did not like to do that. This is from their creed and the likes that they had with regards to these rites. They didn't. They would make ihram from their idol, for their idol, and then they would make their sacred rites, and they didn't like to make the tawaf. They didn't like to make the tawaf. So when Islam came, they asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about that. And Allah revealed, verily, Safa and the Marwa are among the symbols of Allah. Then Allah, He revealed this verse, so they would not have any hard feelings. They didn't want to make tawaf because that was the way that they did before. They thought that it was not good to make tawaf. So therefore Allah revealed that there's no blame and no sin upon the one who makes tawaf. So this was revealed about them specifically. Not meaning that it's not an obligation or a pillar from the pillars of Hajj, but rather this was to clarify a doubt that they had, the Ansar specifically. So Urwah, he had misunderstood the verse because he did not know the sunnah with regards to that. He did not know the reason and the wisdom why that verse was revealed, which sheds light on the proper understanding and application of that verse. So he says, وَعُرْوَ بِنِ الزُّبَيْرِ مِنْ خِيَارِ التَّابِعِينَ. The Shaykh, he says, حَفِيظُهُ اللَّهِ وَعُرْوَ بِنِ الزُّبَيْرِ مِنْ خِيَارِ التَّابِعِينَ وَهُوَ أَحَدُ الْفُقَهَا السَّبْعَ بِالْمَدِينَ فِي عَصْرِ التَّابِعِينَ قَدْ مَهَّدَ لِعُذْرِهِ فِي خَطَائِهِ فِي الْفَهْمِ بِكَوْنِهِ فِي ذَلِكَ الْوَقْتِ الَّذِي سَأَلَ فِيهِ حَدِيثَ السن وواضح في أن حداثة السن مظنة سوء الفهم وأن الرجوع إلى أهل العلم فيه الخير والسلامة. Urwa ibn Zubayr was among the best of the Tabi'in, rahimahullah, and he was one of the seven prominent jurists, al-fuqaha al-sab'a, in Medina during the era of the Tabi'in. He began by presenting an excuse for his error and understanding due to his young age at the time when he asked this question. You understand the point of the Shaykh? So he made an error. So this is not to find fault with Urwa. Urwa is the great scholar of hadith. But even then, no one is safe from error. But the point is now that whenever he was young in age, because of his young age, he did not have a good understanding of the affairs and the details of the religion. And this led him to fall into error. And he's even confessing that whenever he's narrating this. The Shaykh, he says, to make the point, this clearly indicates that youthfulness is a cause of likely misunderstanding and that returning to the scholars brings goodness and safety. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.